Welcome to the Legion Outriders podcast, your source for the latest Legion news, opinion, and analysis. And now, the Outriders.
Hello, Outriders. Matt here with you today. A new episode, which was his 119? Should I start announcing them now?
Is it 119? Oh, God, I gotta look at the thing again.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay. Maybe delete this later. But anyways. Yes. Dan, how's it going?
You're not going to delete this later.
I am not going to. John, how are you, bud?
What's up, man?
Not much. How was your Wisconsin sojourn?
Oh, it was wonderful. The permafrost is still nice and cold. Yeah. Got 6 inches of snow while I was there. It was good.
Did your tauntaun freeze up before you made the first marker?
No, it was a really good trip. Was pretty much unplugged for 2 weeks, so I'm going to be learning just as much about what's been happening as you are.
It's been an eventful month at this point, yeah. I think. Holy crap.
I am surprised we're getting this much stuff before Mini-Stravaganza.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten into Mini-Stravaganza yet. We're going to talk about that, but there's a flood of information. We're going to be channeling our inner Joshes today with a lot of hot takes, but,
Well, you know, I was just actually talking to you about this beforehand. They've gotten so much stuff released. Like, it seems like every week they're debuting something new. I mean, granted, nothing's coming out, but yeah. They're like previewing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Remember back in like the FFG days, we were going like 2 or 3 months with nothing, like no news.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the stuff was loaded in the pipe, and now it's just kind of spinning it out at the end of the conveyor belt, and they're ready to start previewing. But we'd also, if we can, you know, cast our mind back to the days where we'd get, like, early previews, and then it would still be, like, 6 months before it even came out.
Yeah.
By the time it came out, people were like, yeah, okay.
We've been playing this on TTS for 2 months now.
Yeah, we've been proxying this for a while now. It's not so hot. But, yeah, we got a lot of that to talk about. Let's go ahead and jump into the news. Dan, what do we got, bud?
Well, on the Star Wars news, general Star Wars news.
Uh-huh. General Star Wars.
Do you remember when they announced Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga?
I do.
E3 2019.
Holy crap. Was it that long ago?
Yes. And guess who just got a new trailer? I mean, it looks awesome. But they, in addition to the new trailer, they also announced the newest update to the release date is going to be spring of 2022.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so it's a Lego game. Like, how much work do you need on that?
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering that. Maybe they're all Lego designers that are just kind of picking up programming in their side time. I don't know.
Or they're having to, you know, put the bricks together and then 3D scan them and then one.
How is this different than any of the other Lego Star Wars games?
Supposedly, it's the entire...
It spans nine movies.
Oh, okay.
Plus, yeah. Rogue One's probably in there.
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
All the trailers they've shown have just been the core nine movies, but
right.
I'm sure there'll be Mando stuff in there. I'm sure there'll be side movie stuff in there. You know.
I want to be a Grogu just kind of cruising around in my little repulsor
crib.
Pram.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was officially announced, but I read somewhere too. It's like over 500 little playable minifig characters.
Oh,
it's
geez.
Yeah. It's going to be like. The people that 100% this are going to be just nuts.
And they will do it.
Yeah, and they'll do it.
Yeah. ever played any of the Lego games?
No.
Really?
I mean, they were fun.
Because I would think that they had, like, the earliest iterations when you were, like, in the prime.
I mean, I had, like, Lego Star category. Wars when I was a kid. I never played the video games.
That came out for, like, the PS2. It was a while ago.
Yeah, it wasn't really my thing, but, I mean, like, cool. Like, I think it's fun, I'm sure, but...
What, you were the 11-year-old too busy grooming their beard and getting dates ready for Friday nights?
I had to go chop firewood.
Yeah.
But HasLab announced their next project as well. If you remember, for the sail barge and a few other big Star Wars things they've done.
Okay.
They've announced, well, they haven't officially said the name, but they put a picture up of a Rancor.
Oh, really?
So if they're doing a, you know, 3 3/4 scale Rancor, that'd be awesome.
That would be kind of cool.
I mean,
how much would that be?
Yeah, that's another question. Yeah. I mean, most HasLab stuff is stupid expensive anyway.
Yeah,
but
for real.
I mean, non-Star Wars related, did you see the Aliens Pulse Rifle Nerf
gun? I did, yes. Mm. Yeah, I've been playing some of the Fireteam Elite, and that's been popping up on my radar. It's like, yeah, it's cool, but I don't really collect Nerf. I don't think I've had a Nerf gun, and I don't know. 30 years or so.
Oh, they're still fun.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah. So you did do that.
Nerf guns were my thing, but I mean, like, have you looked at the Nerf guns available now for kids?
I'm sure it's absolutely ridiculous.
I was buying a birthday present for one of my friend's kids when I was back home, and no joke, walking down the toy aisle and seeing all of these Nerf guns, I'm like, you're going to put an eye out with these things. They're like high velocity.
Now, unfortunately, they do have restrictor plates and bleed valves. And yes, I'm the crazy guy who would be opening up some of my Nerf guns to correct that. But anyway.
I like that Nerf is unabashedly the company you go to train your children on how to hunt the most dangerous game. Yes. If you're not shooting at people, I mean, what are you doing? Are you setting up targets in the yard? Forget it.
True. And yeah, back when I lived in California, it was the most viable option. So, yeah. But now that I moved out here, you know,
the 6-year-old kid comes out and, like, full active cam and just like, they drew first blood. Easy there, little Jimmy.
Yeah. Where'd you get that knife?
There have been Nerf melee weapons too, axes and swords and whatnot too. But
anyway, I thought that was just for LARPing.
No, oh yeah, I'm sure they use it for LARPing too.
But anyway. Okay, all right.
But on to Legion related news. Do we want to start with the good news or the bad news?
Let's start with the good news, and then we'll say the bad news in a good way, so maybe it won't seem so bad.
Well, in that case, the mini Stravaganza schedule. Did come out.
Yay! All right, mini Stravaganza. Just filled with Legion stuff.
I'm super excited for it. Well, like, yeah, I also like MCP.
You love MCP. Yeah, MCP is fun. It is. I'm excited to see some of the stuff, too. I just like the characters.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I don't get into the nitty-gritty. But anyways.
For a little peek behind the curtain of how we record here, we're kind of low-tech. We don't use the computers or phones or anything. I've got printouts. Everything for everyone to read. And I printed the schedule, and I had to highlight each of the things because there was a lot going on.
I think it's just highlighting your attention to detail and work ethic. So
the puns.
Thank you.
The puns.
I appreciate it because if it was digital, I would get confused already. So.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving me something tactile to work with.
We're old school here. We need physical, you know, hard copies to look at.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot of events. Most of them are MCP.
Yeah. I mean, that is their original bread and butter there. So. We do have some entries for Star Wars Legion, though, and this is going to be starting September 9th. The 9th, 10th, and 11th is when it's going to be running. They're going to have announcements going all day. Where can people find the schedule if they want to look at it themselves?
I picked this copy up off the AMG Twitter.
Okay,
AMG's been
the internet.
Yes, the internet. Yeah, no, they've been plastering it all over the social medias. Yeah,
Instagram and Facebook, their AMG pages.
So check your Google box. But the ones we are most interested in are starting Thursday at 11 a.m. Into the Underworld.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
So, I mean, general speculation is Scum Faction. But, I mean, this could mean a lot of things.
Yeah.
Not to tangent into X-Wing because they got a single presentation on this.
Babu Freak?
Yeah. Okay. Well, no. but X-Wing got previewed that already, which is weird that they're dropping so much stuff before this. That's still crazy to me that they're not holding back for the Stravaganza.
They just got oodles of information and they're trying to distract away from certain things.
But they did show that X-Wing will be getting the Razor Crest as part of their thing. So
yeah.
Underworld, I mean, we could be Mando, we could be Bounty Hunters, we could be... There's lots of possibilities.
Man, if we actually got Mando, yeah, that would make sense. Mm-hmm. If they're... Well, I guess we'll see.
I mean, it seems to be like their most popular part of the IP right now, so you might as well cash in on that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, true. True. I don't know how long it takes things to get rolling over in the game development. Like, okay, the series is coming out. Let's start making models. You know, we got to find a place to put them. All that kind of stuff.
It feels like
this should be a good time, though.
Yeah. I mean, they announced that Mando was coming to Legion and X-Wing 2 years ago? Or was it more than that?
Did they? Did they actually say that?
That wasn't one of the... Not the public event. It was the one that meant for game owners, and I am blanking on the name of that.
Oh, the one I used to go to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they show a photo of the Razor Crest? Yeah. Didn't they show the Razor Crest on X-Wing yesterday?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so they just announced that, which I figure that would have been a big reveal for Mini Stravaganza.
Yeah.
That's why I'm shocked they're dropping so much stuff beforehand.
I guess.
Like, what are they going to show at Mini Stravaganza?
I don't know. Yeah. The mind bottles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about the number of hobby and painting themed segments they have going on a lot of stuff. I mean, that's kind of been their way of debuting stuff recently. All their streams seem to be, you know, pa- painting streams, and then occasionally they'll drop like a little hint in there about new stuff coming out, which
something will slip.
I mean, I'll be honest, even somebody who enjoys the painting and hobby aspect of things, I'm not going to sit and watch somebody paint on stream.
Just, really?
No, unless it's an actual like instructional video.
I do one of the guys,
like Duncan Rhodes or Sarastro or whatever. I'll watch those. I'm not going to sit there and watch someone fritter away their day by painting. Not on a live stream.
Even if they might toss out some tidbits about...
I'll wait and listen to wonderful podcasts like Legion Outriders for them to inform me about what those things are.
I just wait for Dan to tell me, so...
Well, that too, yeah.
But a couple of these events that they posted were... it sounds like they're going to be instructional. There was a one about... I'm trying to bring it up here. Because I could print out copies for you guys, but I didn't print my own here.
There's the piece of paper. Sorry.
So I heard selfless, I'd be reading Dan. This.
Yes, yeah. I am selfless. Jeez. Here. there was Sherry's painting techniques for painting vehicles, so that's going to be on Friday. There was another one about painting droids. There's going to be instructional painting on this. It's not just going to be like, here's a fun model, I'm going to paint it. If they're showing off new models and painting them, that's kind of that's the way they do their reveals, kind of.
I like how they have one that's called Tactical Rocks 101. Yeah. It's good. Or in the case of MCB.
Do you think it's Tactical Rocks or Tactical Rocks? Is there an exclamation there? Or?
No, it's just 101.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Okay. But the next Legion-related event we have is on Friday, again at 11 a.m., Boots on the Ground. Yes? So not Repulsor Boots.
No,
so
this is going to be a gameplay event.
Okay.
Where Will Pagani and Michael Plummer are going to be playing each other, featuring new units during the stream.
Oh, probably ones teased the day before, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope this time they actually get some reps in before they start streaming, and it isn't like just thrown together at the last minute like the last one seemed to be.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah. Did you see that one?
No.
I don't remember who it was that was playing, but...
It was just like their first time looking at the cards.
It felt like they were just told, like, hey, you need to stream something I canceled. They just like decided, hey, you need to go stream this game. And two people were like, maybe 5 or 6 games into their Legion. well, I'll go ahead and try this out then. Let's read the cards on the first, like, on air for the first time here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just didn't go over so well, so I'm hoping that this one's a little bit, I don't know, more smooth.
I guess we'll see. Then, again, same day on Friday, 5:30 p.m., Rolling Thunder, the Battle of Kashyyyk. Oh, boy. A variety of new vehicles are rolling into Star Wars Legion, and we're going to get you battlefield ready. Join Dallas Kemp as he shares various techniques for painting the vehicles of a galaxy far, far away. Okay, so we're going to see Fluttercraft and whatnot painting and all that stuff.
They have been painting a Fluttercraft.
Oh, they have? Okay, so the other stuff then.
Yes.
Maybe some spider tanks and whatnot.
Probably. Or maybe the rolling snail tank.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes.
Get all those tank riders on there. Okay, what do we have for Saturday then?
Looks here, Any Methods Necessary, New Directions in Star Wars Legion. Join Will Schick, Will Pagani, and Dallas Kemp, and Michael Plummer as they take a look at some new units for Star Wars Legion and discuss where the game is headed. So this is probably like, this is the one we're all going to be like tuning in for.
Yeah, we'll be paying attention to
between this and the very first event back on Thursday, those are, I think, are going to be the big reveal events.
Yeah.
Be watching their crew with great interest.
The 11:30, we got Roger painting droids, so... Those of you guys who want to watch somebody use a lot of skeleton horde for a few hours. No, I mean, they have some great painting stuff.
For sure.
Anybody who hasn't painted all of their B1 droids yet, this should be interesting. And who knows, maybe they'll do some new models in there, too.
I don't know. The way you said it, though, I thought that was somebody's name for a second. Like, let's go to our European correspondent, Roger.
And finally, 3:30 is the Star Wars Legion Painting Mall. So that could be cool because they have a mall
painting
already,
the mall.
But maybe we have second mall?
Oh, man, we've had one
second
mall.
Malls?
What about second mall? Let's go
to
the mall.
Yeah,
yes.
Going back to the into the underworld. There are some lines to draw here.
On
I don't
mall
know if
space,
I'm
space because it's very detailed.
Yes, yes.
Spider Legs Mall, maybe?
Spider legs.
Probably not. Yeah. Maybe robot legs if they were going to do something. Especially, because the solo scene in there when he's running syndicates and whatnot. That would be interesting.
Yep. So I don't know if we're connecting the dots in the right order, but definitely.
We've got an underworld revealed. and then a Shady Underworld character that's an established one that's been out for a while now. I mean, you still can't get it, but that would be interesting. The new Chase Mall, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I'm excited for all of it. I mean, because I'm also an MCP fan, so there's a lot of cool things on there too. So
you're just gonna stay tuned, take notes.
I mean, I'll be working for two of those 3 days, realistically, I won't be, but I'll be paying attention to my social media feed.
How about that? That's good stuff.
Between the Facebooks and the Discords, I'm sure all this info will get distilled down very quickly. Well,
yeah.
You got all that building excitement, ready to hear new reveals, all that new stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Well, prepare not to be. Because guess what? Yes, I think it kind of crept out there the other day.
But it was yesterday. Yesterday. And it was, I actually found out about it from a friend who was still on the X-Wing Facebook page, and he's like, oh, you're going to love this. And he just sent me the Google Doc.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, price hikes. Guess what, guys? No.
It's a price adjustment.
Price hikes. Oh, I'm sorry. Are any of them going down in price? Maybe I'm being completely unfair here.
No, I'm sure that someone in Asmodee heard, oh, they're asking for points adjustments. They must mean price adjustments.
Yeah. Can do. Yeah, all right.
No, I mean, honestly, I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner.
Yes. I was kind of hoping they would bake it into a little bit more elegantly into like the re-releases of the hard plastics, but it seems like it's just going up across the board.
This is kind of the second price hike we've seen.
When
the Clone Era stuff came out, that was all bumped up in price, and then we saw a little bit of an adjustment for the older stuff, but not as significant as this one.
Yeah. Basically where we started out from Legion, when things were just a downright bargain, as far as I was concerned, after, you know, playing other miniature systems, now it's like, it's okay. It's an okay. I think it's still on average, well, definitely cheaper than GW stuff, but,
that's not much to, you don't want to compare it to that.
No. And I don't, but, comparing to other stuff, it still feels like it's in the right area. It's just kind of like, oh yeah. I mean, who wants to get excited about paying more for the same models?
Well, okay, to be fair to Asmodee, which I don't normally
this would be a change. Buckle up, let's hear this one.
I mean, this is something that's across the board in all retail space. Anything that's being manufactured in China, which is like 95% of the things that we buy, and everything that Asmodee makes is all produced in China, and there's been an issue since the beginning of the pandemic with shipping crates.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially everything that was made pre-pandemic and like the first couple months of the pandemic that was shipped to the U.S., all those shipping crates are normally filled with products in the U.S. and then shipped back. And it's kind of like this back and forth exchange.
Right.
Well, the U.S. shut down manufacturing around that time.
Yeah.
And there was nothing to ship, so they weren't going to waste money shipping all those crates back to China. So there are ports in the U.S. that are filled with empty shipping crates and just now starting to move back. Well, you know, supply and demand, when there's a massive demand and low supply for shipping crates in China, and China has been shutting down ports at any sign of a, you know, outbreak in the pandemic.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've been very, like, they don't joke around. If they, you know, if one of these shipping areas, all of a sudden there's a couple outbreaks, yeah, they shut that whole shipping port down.
Wow.
So they're, you know, shipping crates have been at a premium coming from China, and it's essentially, we were looking between $5,000 to $7,000 a shipping crate. Now it's over $10,000.
Okay.
And companies are bidding, essentially, to get their stuff over here in time.
On there, yeah.
And a lot of times, it's not even on time. And then on top of that, there have been a lot of issues in ports in the U.S. where these container ships have been sitting in port waiting for about 3 weeks, waiting to get unloaded. And then they're, you know, charging extra because of that. So there has been a massive hike across the board. Asmodee is just another company that's kind of seeing that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. My eyes were kind of glazing over like a 12-year-old watching dialogue about trade disputes and Phantom Menace. But no, that is,
I mean,
actually,
it's boring, but it's the reality of what they're facing as a company. So rarely am I a business apologist, but I understand where it's coming from. And
do you think the prices will go back down after it's
absolutely
opened
not.
Up?
Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely not.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so.
And that's kind of the hard reality.
Is it a pretext, or is it an excuse? I don't know. Probably, but But you know, it was going to go up anyways. So
but one of the things that some people were saying on the on the Facebook chat when this was when I posted this yesterday, that, they're having a hard time with the pandemic. Don't get it twisted. Asmodee's stock went from €44 a share in April, when the beginning of the pandemic, and they're now sitting at $89. So they've doubled.
Wow.
The value. So wow. You know, I understand why they're doing it, but also don't, you know, have no pity for Asmodee because they're raking money in.
Yeah. And especially after business decisions and all that kind of stuff that still loom in the background.
And of course, it's not just the shipping containers themselves. There's, you know, materials costs have gone up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Labor costs have gone up. You know, there's
plastic. Come on, that's easy. We've got an ocean filled with it. Come on. Ouch.
We don't get into politics here, but certain administrations have done, you know, tariffs and taxes that have affected shipping as well. Like,
there are a lot of variables.
There's a lot of variables in this, and it's all, unfortunately, upward variables. Again, this was look at my surprised face.
So I think I saw on the figures that we were bandying about, like a General Veers figure that was what, $14, $15?
Yeah. $13.
$12.95, and now it's getting hiked up to $20.
$20?
Yeah.
Is it going to be, and it's not going to be reprinted, it's just going to be the
same old model.
Soft plastic model.
That's the highest increase. Most things went up by average of about 20-ish%.
Oh man, that was one of my. I think I specifically called out early in our episodes, like, "Hey, you know, if you want to change up your list, buy a new HQ and play them around because they're so cheap, and they drastically change how your army plays." But
well, they saw the biggest percentage hike. But you know, even the regular unit kits that are $25-$30, they're all being hiked up about $5 to $10 each. So it's about 15-20% across the board on everything. Again, like you said, compared to GW, if you came from a GW game, like, I still play AOS, and I'm looking at this, I'm like, eh.
You guys talk about it in our little chat group from time to time, and my head explodes every time somebody mentions costs on kits and things like that. I'm like, I mean, even coming from a game store background, it seems like it's just been escalating like crazy. It seemed like a couple years ago, I don't want to get into GW stuff, but they seem to have tamped down the cost a bit, and things were reasonably priced, and now it's just, you know, 180 going the other way.
Well, and they just, the new release for 40K is the Orcs release, and they got a lot of new stuff coming out, which is astronomically priced, but they're reprinting or just repackaging some of their older stuff, like the old Orc Battle Wagon, was $60, now $110.
Jeez.
Yeah. And that's Australian? No, $165 Australian. Somebody posted about it today. So yeah.
Goodness.
So right, GW is unabashedly doing the same thing, probably worse than what Asmodee.
So ATSTs are how much now?
So 3D printer go burr.
Oh yeah.
Like honestly, I think that not that I'm advocating, you know, pirating models or doing 3D, whatever. Right. I think that if Asmodee and GW want to have any longevity in this industry, they're going to have to find a way to sell STL files. And because, I mean, you wouldn't have all these shipment issues if you're just selling the STL file.
They just have no way of controlling, you know, selling it once and then it being spread
some sort
otherwise.
Of DRM or whatever. Who knows? Maybe is the wave of the future. But
I mean, again, we're not a GW podcast, but you've heard that GW has been just cracking down on 3D printed stuff. On the other,
I mean, that's always been their tournament.
Basically, like literally, I've heard stories of GW stores saying, "Oh, that's not an official model. Cool, you can't play here. Get the F out."
It gets worse if you're using an unofficial head. Say that you go on one of those, you know, those Thingiverse sites, and you buy a bunch of like, I have White Scars Army. I bought a whole bunch of like Asian heads. I know it sounds
Mongolian.
Terrible. Yeah, like Mongolian style, like with the ponytail, something like that.
To make sense.
And the rest of the model is all official GW. I just swapped the heads out. By the letter of the law, if I took that to one of those official GW tournaments, I'd be disqualified.
Yeah.
Whole thing.
Yep. Yeah, it used to be like 50%. Anyways, okay. So
the
times they are
a
changing. Yeah, let's go ahead and continue on because we've got other stuff to talk about, like maybe a rules guide update.
Rules?
How about them new points?
We don't need no rules.
Oh, okay. Yeah, actually, we do. In order, we have a social contract.
We make
as
the
gamers.
Rules.
No, we don't. No, we do not. We misinterpret the rules.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of like making rules.
That's why we have Jeff.
Yes.
I don't want to read the rules. Jeff reads them for me.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for your service, FA.
So yeah, okay. This is a little different than how they've, well, how FFG has done it, because this is kind of the first major rules update since December of last year, mm-hmm. Where it was still, everything was still under FFG.
Yeah.
So they're doing an addendum page as opposed to redoing the entire document.
Okay.
You know, but I have a feeling that we need to stock up on our blue ink very, very soon.
Cyan is low.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, most of, a good deal of these we've already seen, at least with the reminder text on cards that have been previewed already. I mean, hell, we had the Yoda card at the last mini Stravaganza released.
Mm.
So we've seen Ataru Mastery and Guidance, you know, for a while now.
Yeah. It feels like Yoda should be out already.
In some regions,
yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I think people do have him. But anyways.
Not in the U.S., though.
No.
Thanks to shipping. But anyway.
Okay, starting out, I see you starred here Overrun.
Yes, which, that's the new spicy.
Tied to the Bombardier upgrade for the Fluttercraft.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about that guy later.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we will. I'm excited for that one.
I wonder why.
So, yeah, Overrun looks really fun because, I mean, talk about, you know, action economy. You're essentially getting a free attack action when you move over a target.
Yeah.
With your move action.
That makes sense. And like, okay, I'm going to fly the ship in this direction. You just toss stuff out the back, please, okay?
This reminded me of the old, like, World War One guy with a pistol and a...
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Throwing stuff out the back of the...
a Luger aiming at the other pilots. Or one of those hand-dropped bomby things. I mean, that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah, throw the old potato masher out the back.
Yeah.
What is this, Wings of War? Jeez.
So, yeah, with Overrun, it's got a lot of unique things about it. So it doesn't count as a range attack. So that, I mean, that's kind of interesting.
So cover and other things like that are not brought in the equation.
Yep, ignores cover. Fire support can't be used to support or during an Overrun attack. Does not cause the defender to gain one suppression token. So that makes that suppressive keyword very important. Again, we'll talk about that later. But, so, I mean, that's going to completely negate that. And it says it can perform it with a standard move action. So that means you can still do it with a compulsory move, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay, so anytime it makes a move, it can make one of these up to the amount of overruns it gets because it is an overrun X. So
and it can only do one attack per move. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So, seems good.
Yeah. Just drive over someone, hopefully displace them, which will give them another suppression. Yep.
This will be great when we get those IG droids that are mounted on the swoop bikes with the lances.
Oh, yeah.
They can just kind of overrun there.
Interesting. I mean, looking at it in a vacuum, I know everyone has their mind about the guy flying over dropping grenades, but mm-hmm. in a vacuum, could this mechanically be adapted to, say, like, Tauntauns or something that would just run over someone as opposed to
something like that? Yeah, maybe a Rancor model that can just trample people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm all about adding more keywords to my Tauntauns.
That's bad.
So take off RAM, add overrun.
Whoa, no. Let's not get too hasty.
Yeah. Tauntauns are still just fine. Yeah. All right, what else do we have here?
Programmed. So that's a new keyword that is an upgrade slot for the only one we've seen so far, the dwarf spiders, correct?
Yes, but we're assuming it's going to be on the snail tank as well.
Okay.
Well, because the card spread also has the programmed cards in them, so yeah.
And then self-destruct. That's also one that we saw debuted with the dwarf spiders, and that one's spicy.
Yeah.
How... well, do you think you'll be able to pull this off?
Oh, I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We'll talk about that when we get to the dwarf spider,
okay,
I think.
Okay, I don't know. It seems like it's kind of a moving target that can be quickly, you know, dealt with. But anyways.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, we'll debate that.
But I'm just glad that this is actually in the rules because this paves the way.
You're not getting a probe droid.
I want my Viper probe droid.
You're not getting a probe droid, Dan. I'm sorry.
I need to make
too many
droid
people
noises.
Want it. You're not going to have it.
So self-destruct attacks are ranged attacks. They have it counts as a free action, and after performing all attacks, the unit performing the self-destruct is defeated and removed from play. So obviously,
basically, it just turns the unit into a mine. Basically,
they call it a mine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be cool if we saw like an upgrade card in the future that, you know, for armored vehicles that gives it the self-destruct keyword. I don't know, maybe like you can combine it with the crazy taxi driver for the
that immediately popped to mind. But yeah, that seems like a very rebel kind of thing.
Oh god, and with the current rule set, like whatever you're carrying just drops out. Like, it just seems horribly abusable, sir.
They call it a tuck and roll.
Yeah.
Tuck and roll keyword.
Suddenly Mr. Torg is on the field.
Explosions!
All right.
Oh, man. So yeah, there's...
Those are the new words then?
All the new words.
All the new words.
Not all the new words. There's a lot more in there, but like I said, a lot of that's already been shown on cards, so I don't want to reiterate stuff.
Yeah, yeah. All this stuff is widely available.
So definitely check that out. It is on the AMG website, the rules addendum, and it is also linked in the rules forum. LJ was kind enough to, I'm assuming it was LJ that put that up there.
Sure,
so,
why not?
So, yeah, it just makes it fun now that to get the regular RRG, you have to go to the FFG site. To get the addendum, you've got to go to the AMG site. Hopefully, AMG.
I'm sure they'll be recombining.
AMG, yeah. If you need a webmaster, I'm not good at it. I mean, the last website I did was back in the GeoCities days.
Oh, but, wow. Strong flex there, friend.
I'm sure we could go over to Squarespace and kind of figure something out.
Wow.
Not hashtag not sponsored, but anyway.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyways, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back to talk about all them spicy new cards.
Hey guys, Matt here to tell you about our friends over at 6UP Supply. If you're like me and don't have access to your own 3D printers, 6UP Supply has you covered with a whole suite of printing services to bring those awesome files to life. The Outriders are proud to be partnered with 6UP, and you could find special themed terrain, gear, and tokens with a big discount for Patreon members in the Outrider Central section of the website. And that's not all. You can also get terrain bases, game supplies, tools, LED kits, and more. Stuff is being added all the time. So stop by the number 6UPSupply.com and use coupon code OUTRIDER to save 10% on your next order, and let them help you up your game.
You are receiving the Legion Outriders podcast. Ending the transmission now would be most unfortunate. And now, the Outriders.
Welcome back, Outriders. Matt, Dan, and John here, and we've got a grip of new cards to talk about. John, since you're... on here again, I'm going to put you on the spot. Which one are you the most excited for? What should we talk about first?
I think I'm really excited about the infantry support platform.
I know you are, yeah. Because that was
scout helmets. Yeah. Those look pretty hot.
That was what, for 5 frames on the Fallujah?
Yes, yes. No, actually, yeah, I did. I had to look it up, of course, because I'm that kind of nerd, mm-hmm, of where mm-hmm. the actual appearance was. And yes, it is on that. Yeah. Scene on Fallujah where the, you know, the convoy of vehicles is tromping through the forest.
Is it Fallujah or Fallujah?
Oh, God.
It's Fallujah.
It's Fallujah.
Fallujah is a city in Iraq.
No, I'm obviously excited about the Fluttercraft.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real here. It's when I saw the model for the first time, I'm like, oh, actually, when I saw, like, because they previewed the name first, yes. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah, then, done.
Until you saw the model and you're like, I hope that's not good, if I could quote you from a previous episode.
I mean, the model looks like, I don't like flying stems. That's where it boils down to.
Yeah.
I'll find a way to try to, like, kitbash it with a tree or something. I don't know.
It is well documented.
The model's really cool looking, though. I am a fan of the model. I just don't like flying stems. But...
just have a crashed one. Just nosedived into the ground.
No, the rules are so
bodies
cool,
everywhere.
Oh, man. I'm excited about the way it plays. I think it's, all right, so...
okay.
I'll just go ahead and get an overview.
Yeah, quick. Here we go.
So, 55 points. It's got a upgrade for the gunner and an upgrade for comms. It is 6 health, 3 resilience. It surges for both hit and for defense, which it needs to because it has a... white dice save.
Mm-hmm.
One model per unit, and it is the base weapon is range 1-2, black and white pilot's Kashyyyk pistol. Let's hope you never have to use it.
I mean, literally the yeah. World War I pilot. Yeah,
yeah, just out the side of the biplane, just pop, pop.
You know, despite the fact that it's got a 5-up save, it's got some increased survivability by having cover 2.
That helps.
So that's cool. And being a flying vehicle, it's immune to blast, melee, and range 1 weapons. So you're always going to get that cover 2 unless someone's got a sharpshooter 2 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, being immune to melee definitely helps too. Reposition, which we're going to see why, but that's a huge keyword for this one.
Oh, yeah.
Gives you the ability to perform a pivot action before or after any standard move. And of course, speeder 2 ignores height 2 or lower, and compulsory move at the beginning or end of your activation. So, initial look without getting into the upgrades, 55 points, not too bad.
Yeah.
It's, you know, granted, you're, you know, in a Republic army, you're always looking at what's going to end up having to, you know, take away from your clone ball. Mm-hmm. But I think it's got some viability. It's not that survivable.
The no armor thing
has
some warning flags. But then again, it is cheap. That reposition, yeah, like you said, I think it's going to be key to keeping it kind of out of trouble there. And I would not count on cover two to keep you, you know, safe from small arms fire because, I don't know, do people do range four in Empire anymore?
Well, my Imperial Assault is comparing this to speeder bikes and going, what the hell?
Well, it does move two, so it's not a move three, so it's not quite as fast as your speeder bikes.
With a bigger base.
With a bigger base, true. I don't see a whole lot of value in taking it naked.
Yeah, I was going to say, just the one pistol attack, and then you've got like a moving target. There must be something more to the equation here.
Yeah, so the two upgrades that have come with it. Dan, you want to take the upgrades on this, or you want me to... I'll go ahead. Just, you know what? I'm just going to rattle through this.
Yeah, just go for it.
This is my baby.
This is your baby.
All right. Yeah. Range 1 to 3 for the NASP gunner. So this is the tail gunner. Range 1 to 3, 2 red, 2 black, fixed rear. And that's kind of...
I think that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But
it's going to make you, like, you're going to have to think ahead a lot with maneuvering this thing. Just so you can...
You need to keep your butt pointed towards the enemy, so...
And having reposition on it obviously makes this viable. Without reposition, this would be terrible.
Yeah, that'd be kind of rough.
Impact 1 and Pierce 1. So that's awesome. Having impact and Pierce, especially with, you know, seeing a little bit more vehicles in the meta, that's huge. So, you know, that's nothing to shrug your shoulders at. I think... 25 points, it's a little hefty for this.
Well, adding it to a 55-point vehicle,
that's
not...
So 80 points, yeah, 80 plus points maybe a comm unit. It's not too shabby.
No, it's not bad at all.
I'd love to see some of these guys try and dogfight each other.
Honestly,
Buttshot.
with just this upgrade, it still looks viable. The next upgrade is the one I'm...
No, that's the one you care about. Yeah.
So the NASC Bombardier. Two red, two white, overrun to immune to deflect, and suppressive. 20 points. So it's actually cheaper. So this brings it to a 70-point model if you're running this. Giving it overrun, and then we talked a little bit about this, you know, the action economy with having overrun as opposed to having to take an actual action to shoot with an ASP gunner, I think alone makes this pretty viable because you're going to get three move actions. You know, should you choose to your compulsory move and then your two standard moves, you're going to be able to get an attack on each of those moves with overrun too. So if you know your first action, take an aim, and then second action, and your compulsory move will be moves, and you get free attacks on those.
Yeah.
I mean that's awesome. It's having suppressive. It makes up for not being able to actually get the range attack suppression token on there.
Yes.
And then displacing. You know, if you displace a unit, then you're getting a suppression with that too.
Now, of course, you can only displace on the
compulsory
move.
Yeah. Correct, yeah.
But still, I mean, that's still crazy.
And if you do not start your attack by saying, pilot to bombardier, get ready for your attack run, then you are wrong.
How does that translate to Shriwook?
Yeah, just screaming. You know. But they know what's going on.
This has a lot to, you know, if we see a resurgence of force users coming about, you know, being immune to melee weapons and...
deflect explosions.
And then, you know, having immune to deflect. Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, we know with overrun that you're ignoring cover. So you can fly over those pesky clone balls and, and blow up those formations.
B1 chains are going to be clustered together too, so...
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting because it's only overrun two, so you can't do like all three moves and just bomb, bomb, bomb.
Yeah.
You can just bomb, bomb, dodge, bomb, bomb, aim, bomb, bomb, or...
I would aim, bomb, bomb.
Yeah.
Would be I think, my go-to because having two red and two white, there's a good chance you're going to miss a couple.
Yeah.
So, plus you got that comms upgrade, so I'm thinking comms jammer.
Yeah, it seems like if you're going to be flying over units, then just messing up their... Mm-hmm. Token activation seems like a slam dunk. What are those? What, 5 points?
Yeah, comms jammer, 5 points. I really hope we don't see them go back up with the new points up.
I mean, are they really breaking the meta right now? I don't know. Let's see how abusive they are with these guys.
I think they're going to be.
I mean, you're going to be in the middle of the ball. They're going to just turn and fire at you unless you're really good about your positioning, and you're going to lose a 75-point model.
And that's why you bring three.
Okay, good point.
So, of course, I've been farting around with lists on this because I
have you.
Well, I'm, you know, looking at putting together an all Wookiee list for LVO at least, and you know, it's tough to be able to fit three units of Wookiees, three units of these, and then your Wookiee commander and Chewbacca, and then of course your three clone units because you don't have any other options for your core choice right now. So at 800 points, you can fit three of these guys in with three units of Wookiees. You just have to drop one upgrade. So you can have, like, you know, one with a bowcaster and one with the shield.
Oh, okay.
But it works.
That's not too bad. How many activations?
Nine.
Nine? Yeah. Yeah, that sounds pretty damn good.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to be picking up three of these guys. competitively, I don't know. I think that there's going to be some fun. There'll be some fun elements with this unit.
When have you cared about being competitive? You just end up being competitive anyways. So,
no, I think that it's going to be a fun unit. You know, yeah. Like I enjoyed when that Tauntaun meta first came out. I know some people had other feelings about that.
Yeah, so you're looking right at me when you say that. But yes.
But, you know, I being a Tauntaun player, I thought it was fun. Being able to cause chaos and disrupt your opponent's plans is fun. And I think this unit has a lot of that to it.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, any last thoughts on that before we move on to the next?
Well, I mean, in lieu of comms jammer, what about this new hacked comms array? Or hacked comms unit?
Yeah, so, yeah, that's a new one. What does that do for us?
So it's during the issue order step of the command phase, after an enemy unit at range one has issued an order, you may issue an order to yourself if able. So yeah, I mean, it's great for a unit that's going to be like sticking itself right in the middle of its opponent's, you know, battle.
Probably line. Outside of your command range.
Yeah. Only 5 points. So that's cool. To me, when you're putting this up against the comms jammer, I think the comms jammer is better just because, you know, all things being equal, I would rather throw a wrench in my opponent's plans than just give myself an order token.
That's fair. I mean, yeah, I could see going either way with it, honestly, because if you can just stack up your guys near their forces, if you got like three of them, then that's three of your tokens out of your bag and just, you know, so you get a little bit more order control there. But for sure. Yeah, I could see either way. Absolutely. Yeah.
And with that list I was just proposing, it's gonna be hurting for order control. You know, I've got three support, three special forces, three core, and two commanders. That's a lot of order token diversity. And it's going to be hard to get the token that I want when I need it. So
you just need an upgrade card for your Wookiee Chieftain that says, is Wookiee, you know? And you just play orders wherever you want to.
But yeah, he's got some viability, but I think the comms jammer, I would still go with.
Okay, nice. But yeah, I could see, though, anything that wants to be up in the face, Magna Guards, IRG.
Yeah.
The new Spider Droids.
Spider Droids.
Would love this as well, considering how they want to get up in someone's face.
The Octa Rock Tank.
Yes.
Good transition.
Yeah, well done. Okay, so another 55-point unit, the DSD-1 Dwarf Spider Droid. Self-destruct 4, so we got that new rule in there. Armor 3, that's pretty nice. Climbing Vehicle, Expert Climber, and Programmed. So we're seeing all those new rules on here. What's that first upgrade slot on there?
That is the program slot.
That is a program slot, followed by?
A hardpoint.
A hardpoint.
Yeah, and they haven't shown the cards for it as of recording, but the card spread does show some names of them.
And I know that third one, that's a comms upgrade. But it has 6 health, breakdown after 4, white save with surging both ways like the Fluttercraft. It's got a wicked kick. red, black, white.
Do we need to summon our inner Bostonian?
Yeah. It's a wicked piss out.
It's wicked.
And then the DSD-1 self-destruct mechanism. 3 red, blast, impact, 1. Oh, man. Yeah. So I started talking about the self-destruct. If you have at least 4 wound tokens, perform your self-destruct attack. Okay, so you get a little bit of leeway. So once you hit that 4, I guess you can get one more wound. So you need to be in that 4 to 5 range before you can set it off. I don't know. That seems kind of tough to manage sometimes. I feel like if they know it's coming, they're just going to keep pouring fire into it. But then again,
yeah. Well, that's kind of the key. It's like, if you're going to shoot it, you better kill it.
Yeah.
Because if it's going to be walking around with four wounds, obviously it can do a lot of damage with self-destruct. So if you get to that point where you're going to put that fourth wound on there, you better put that fifth and sixth wound on there too.
Yeah. What's the range on the self-destruct?
One.
It is range one.
Yeah.
So, okay, I guess you could probably play around that as well, moving people out of the way. Is this going to be one of those troops that you just kind of cram forward and they're like, go ahead, blow it up, and you know, see what happens?
Yeah, I mean,
find out, you know.
Either run it, you know, without any upgrades, or the nose-mounted flamethrower,
mm-hmm.
which we see on the cards here, says run up and this thing wants to be in your opponent's face.
Yeah, so we don't have the actual full cards, but yes, there is one of the titles, nose-mounted flamethrower.
Yep.
So yeah, that kind of encourage that style of play. Mm-hmm. I'd guess somewhere around 20 points, so we're probably 75, 80 points somewhere in there.
Yeah, which, probably. I mean, that it's on par with the ATRT with the flamethrower.
Yeah.
Which, the ATRT doesn't have self-destruct.
Now, granted, it's got full armor. Doesn't it, though? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got full armor, but honestly, armor 3, at that point, you're canceling out 3 hits anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's transitioning just on the point of, might as well just have armor, but... Then again, if you are trying to bring it out, bring it down before it explodes.
Clones are definitely going to fire. They're definitely going to fire support into this thing just to nuke it off the board
for sure.
But I mean, the funny thing, the interesting thing I noticed, self-destruct 4, and it's got 4 resilience. So you have to have had a vehicle damage token in order to get in this threshold anyway.
Oh, if it disables your self-destruct?
Well, I mean, it'll bring it down to half dice.
Ah, okay.
So it might be worth bringing some bring some repair droids alongside this guy just to pull the vehicle damage token off.
Yeah. Well, and also it's got Wicked Kick, so...
Oh, yeah.
There's a 50-50 chance it could be the Wicked Kick, right?
Or, no, your opponent who shoots you chooses which weapon.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah.
That's right. They did change that.
Yeah.
The Rainbow Kick is kind of cute.
I mean, just to get up in there.
He's got 4 legs, so he should have 8, because spider droid, right? So that should be a bunch of...
He's got to keep 1 foot on the ground, and then the other 3 can kick.
Oh, okay, that seems fine,
I think it's good. I think it's, basically the jury's still out until we see the full weapon upgrades, although I think that my playstyle, it's flamethrower or nothing.
or literally nothing, because at 55 points, maybe throw the hack comms on there, or the jammer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Haven't seen if the programming upgrades have point costs, because you have to take one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And given this doesn't have AI on it, current speculation is these program cards will have different AIs, so you can kind of pick and choose.
Yeah, that'll be
of which type of AI you want to put on there.
Well, it's probably what the engagement protocols, defense protocols, or attack protocols.
Yeah,
I'm guessing is probably what those are.
So they'll probably be AI dodge move, or then AI attack move, or something like that.
And then engagement protocols is Mowage. Something I noticed that on the cards that we didn't talk about on the Fluttercraft, but these are both speed 2 models.
Yep.
So not quite as fast as I would have thought on the Fluttercraft, but...
But large bases, like Dan was saying.
Yeah.
And then the compulsory move on top of that. And I mean, it's a Fluttercraft. It's not a aircraft that's... flying forward. It's an ornithopter that's which leads to that little bit better maneuverability with a reposition.
But having that three red dice blast self-destruct mechanism with a large base, I mean, having range 1's not a lot, but when you couple that on top of having a large base like that, that's kind of, again, if somebody's playing a Rex Star army where they've got everything, or B1's where everything's kind of clustered up,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can do a lot of damage to a lot of units with a fairly cheap model.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like a nightmare, honestly. I don't like any of that.
I like it. Actually, I like all this because both of these armies, or both of these units play into my playstyle, which is just run things at your opponent.
Yeah, just push it forward, right? All right.
Infantry charge, and of course, as spindly as the Fluttercraft is, I'm sure the antenna on top of this thing.
You're going to accidentally touch it, and it's going to boing!
Yeah. And now your line of sight drawing is from down there.
I kind of want some of those dune buggy flags, up on the top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that'd be... Yeah. Just whipping around out there.
I might have to look into some spring steel or wire just to... Yeah, I know, sorry. Wheels turning.
Yeah.
Wheels turning.
You don't even play droids.
I don't. But that's, you know, the mechanical side of me.
Yeah, loves that. Okay, fair enough. Did we have any other...
No cards, but we do have pictures of the back of the box.
Of the box previews.
Yes, back of the box previews. Because, of course, the Asmodee store does have both the infantry support platform and the snail tank up for pre-order. Speaking of which, all four of these units are listed on the Asmodee website pre-order at the end of October.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that's probably not going to come
out
that soon.
So, Christmas.
Yeah,
exactly. Make sure and do the pre-order, because I think I think we failed to mention, actually, the price increase was supposed to be starting October 1st.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, get your pre-orders in before the... No, dang it. Now I've got to pull up the price list again. I don't remember if
they were already
these were counted, already
in
counted
there,
on or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would expect $70 because that's what... No. I'm not even joking. That's what the heavies are now. If you look at that price sheet,
yeah,
it's $70 for all of
the
Gav heavies.
And the AT-ST.
Yeah.
And
yeah. So biggest price difference I noticed from what you can buy currently, those B or the AA or AAT tank for the droids. $43 I think on Amazon right now.
Oh,
as opposed to the upcoming $70 MSRP that
that wasn't the MSRP on Amazon though. That was
below
MSRP.
Right. Well, fair.
So, yeah.
Fair. I would imagine that most of those Amazon stores are going to increase their price commensurate with what we're seeing.
Oh yes, because of course this isn't a price increase just for us the consumer. I know these retailers are going
to
have their cost price increase.
They're going to have to pay out.
So yeah, no, believe me, the it's not your retailer's fault. It's not your game store's fault. It's not AMG's fault. This is Asmodee doing that.
Trust me, they'd want it to stay cheap too because it's a great selling point for the game. But anyways, so infantry support platform. It's a little like hover round thing.
Yeah, it's basically
pintle mounted.
It's a swamp boat.
Bop gunners.
It's an airboat.
Yeah.
Oh. That just made me excited about it for the first time.
What, did you have Burt Reynolds flashing in your mind?
Archer.
Yeah.
The fanboat.
Yeah. Yes.
Have you not seen the picture of the box yet?
Yeah, I saw.
Okay, I was about to say.
Some rocket pods on
it.
I
didn't make that connection to it, which honestly, when I saw it, I'm like, yawn. Like, it just looks boring. And then, like, the name is Infantry Support Platform. Like, can you
be
any more
generic? Infantry. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Like a
jockstrap. I mean, for the average name of a Star Wars vehicle, I will admit this is kind of the most boring.
They didn't sell the most toys.
At least put a couple numbers and letters in front of it to make it
interesting.
There
you go.
But yeah, it's got two physical weapons. It'll probably just be one hard point.
Yeah.
Because we do have the card spread from the store page, and it'll have either twin blaster cannons, twin missile pods, or twin beam cannons.
Oh, we got beams on there.
Yeah. So you can, curious if this can target more than one unit, though, because they're twin. But maybe a little arsenal love? No. Maybe.
Who knows? I guess we'll see. We'll probably see soon. I wonder if they'll preview this on Mini Extravaganza. They've got
hopefully
other stuff.
I mean, or we've got literally 1 week from recording to Mini Extravaganza, so we'll probably get something this week.
Yeah,
leading up to it.
I'd be interested to see what role this plays within the Republic Army, just because I don't know. Maybe the Wookiees. I don't know what unit they have that would really want to get up and engage up close right away.
Per the box, this is a heavy unit, so not even though it says support in the name, it's not the support class.
Yeah.
It is a heavy class.
Very confusing.
But I just mean like as far as if it's a troop transport, I'm trying to think within the Republic Army, what unit would you really want to transport?
I mean, given its size, it would only really transport maybe it's a what was it? What was the Landspeeder light
transports?
No, there's no indication that we have.
Yeah,
that
I think
says
this
it
is just like a weapons platform thing for like heavy weapon fire.
I
don't know. We'll find
tank,
out.
So
yeah.
I'm just trying to think. Like,
and
yeah.
This does have the strafey, you know, side notched base as well.
I'm going to assume it's going to be super fragile.
Yeah, so that's a good question. What differentiates this from the saber? That's a good question.
I mean, unless it's a lighter.
Probably
cheaper.
Not a red save, I'm going to guess, based on how exposed those. Maybe an armor one or something like that. But yeah, they've even got the scout clone helmets as part of the pilots in there. So it's definitely supposed to be like a lighter vehicle, I would assume. But yeah, we'll see. I think it's kind of cool. I like that kind of stuff.
Are you going to be buying some of these just for the helmets, just like you did with the Barks?
Oh,
way
for
back
for the scout helmet. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the scout helmets. If I'm doing like a full Kashyyyk Wookiee list like that, I probably want to do three units of scout clone.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be cool.
Just because you know, go. Do the little camo pattern.
So, So buy three of these now. Printer.
No, no. I was going to say, because there's two per box, so and you need a minimum of, was it for 12? So yeah, you need to buy.
So 3D printer.
Go see our good friend. Beam cannons can be fun. I think they're messy. They mess things up. I like it.
I'm just thinking like chameleon, two eyes pointing different directions as the beam's going.
Okay, and then can I persuade you to talk about the next thing?
Yes. See, here's where they have the fun stuff. The NR-N99 Persuader class tank.
Right, that's a proper name.
NR stands for no really. It's the N99.
What is this persuading though? Because it's persuading I'm not going to run you over with these treads.
Persuading you to make trade deals with the Trade Federation.
Exactly. It's a negotiation tactic. But it's got B1 riding models, kind of like tank riders. That seems kind of cool. Maybe that's they're trying to get, hey, let me ride along.
So I'm guessing, unlike the Gav, there's probably not enough physical space to put the models on bases on these little pontoons on the side of it.
I challenge someone to do some kit bashing and put like an old school like GI helmet from World War II and like a pack of Lucky Strikes with with the B1 smoking suit. Tossing out candy bars to the small Dutch children.
Yes.
But the spread on this card does have both the programs, the protocols on them. It does also have ordnance in the spread.
Ooh.
So we'll be getting missiles of some kind.
It'd be cool if they have another missile that could be used with the B or the AA5.
No, unfortunately, with the spread, it's just the three missiles we already know of, unfortunately.
Do we think this is just going to be like an open-top transport?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking it's just like the Gav. It's going to be open transport.
Yeah.
Carry, one group of B1s or super battle droids.
I'm thinking, Magna Guard would be cool, or throw some of the BX commando droids with the vibroblades.
Ooh,
throw
them on stabby boys.
Hmm.
I mean, if I'm choosing model, I'm not putting B1s in a transport.
Yeah.
I want something that's going to get up there.
What if they get to shoot from the transport?
I mean, that'd be kind of cool.
Not saying they're going to, because they probably won't. But anyways.
And, the eye stalks and antennas on this thing look a little spindly as well. So we're definitely getting into the age of spindle.
Yeah. It just means that when you break them, you'll need to replace the kits or invest in some good transport things. But, a lot of stuff coming out for those Clone War era armies. Very cool. And hopefully we'll have some stuff for the old GCW factions here, Rebels and Empire, coming out this week.
Yes, I know. I'm going to have to hop on Etsy and see if someone makes an Imperial Salt Shaker. Because
I swear I had a Darth Vader helmet, pepper mill thing.
Nice.
It's not salt, but probably getting you in the right direction.
Yes.
All right, guys. I think that's about enough to say on that. We'll have more news as it develops for the next episode. John, where can people find you?
That's private information. I'm not telling people
You've
where I live.
You've done that joke already. Come on.
No, I'm on Instagram at @Outrider_John. And I'm not really on Discord, but if I am, it's Wookiee of the Year is my
wow, all right. Handle. A self-aggrandizing title that awarded to himself.
Or Long Gun Wookiee on OnlyFans still, since OnlyFans is apparently not shutting down now. But anyway,
turns out they like money. But anyways.
Yeah. I'm Outrider Dan on the Discord and floating around the Facebook.
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at @GRN_Archer or streaming on Twitch at @Captain_Archer. Thanks again, as always, to our Patreon supporters for letting us do what we do. We appreciate you guys, and we'll see you next episode. Take care, everybody. Yep,
which will be post mini extravaganza. So yes, we will have a lot of info next episode.
This concludes the current episode of the Legion Outriders podcast. You may cultivate a tactical advantage by observing the Outriders on Facebook or Twitter at Legion Outriders. Wisdom advocates subscribing to the podcast. Acting otherwise is reckless.